on Christmas, we sometimes get our eyes focusing on what's around us, on the packages, the lights, the tinsel. By the way, does anybody still use tinsel on their trees? No. Oh, okay. We still have. Someone wrote about the modern Christmas compared to what it was like in Jesus' day. And he did it in a humorous way, and I think you'll just endure for a moment here. He said the three wise men went to see baby Jesus and presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are simple words, and as we discover what they say, there's an important overlooked theological fact. There is no mention of wrapping paper. If there had been wrapping paper, Matthew 2, 1 through 12 would have continued in verse 13, and lo, these gifts were inside 600 square cubits of paper, and the paper was festooned with pictures of Frosty the Snowman. And verse 14, Joseph sought to throw it away, but Mary saith to him, hold it. That is nice paper. Save it for next Christmas. Verse 15, so Joseph rolled his eyeballs. Verse 16, and the baby Jesus was more interested in the paper than in the frankincense. And I thought, that's true. Of course, these words don't appear in our Bible because these were wise and these were men. And so there's no mention of the Christmas tree, of the wrapping, of the different things. Men, you know, don't understand the importance of putting paper on a gift so that someone else can tear it apart. And when men try to wrap a gift, it looks like an enormous spitball anyway. So that's just the point is that wrapping gifts is fun, but that's an extra. It's something apart from what really Christmas is all about. And we'll enjoy it. And if you haven't unwrapped all your gifts yet, we got up a little early today. And we had Christmas last night with my wife's mother and watched her have the joy of unwrapping and fighting with every piece of scotch tape that makes it stick in the boxes closed. But it's a joy, but it's not what Christmas is all about. 2 weeks ago, we spoke on the angelic message of Christmas, the four names that were given, two to Joseph and two to Mary, about Jesus, that his name would be Jesus, his name would be Emmanuel, his name would be the Son of the Highest, his name would be the Son of God. Last week, we looked at three lesser-known parts of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 1, as we talked about the revelation to Zacharias of the forerunner of the Messiah coming, and then of the message to Mary and the message that Mary sang about, and then the great blessing as the chapter ends. And then it begins, and it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, the more familiar verses of the Christmas story. Well, today we just want to look at the basic events, because that's what we're talking about and singing about today. And then next week we'll look at three more little messages about the following. What happened after Jesus was born? What happened when the shepherds left? They went back to their sheep rejoicing. Mary sat there in the barn and pondered everything that happened. But what happened next? Now that's next week's message, and you'll have to come back and hear it. But today we are rejoicing simply in the matchless gift of Christmas. When Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem and found the walls and the gates were destroyed, nothing had been done in 70 years, he led the people in a matter of just weeks to rebuild the wall, to make a fortified city that would protect it from its enemies. And when it finished in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says the people rejoiced and gave gifts to one another because the work was done and they were secure once again. few pages on in history and the story of Esther. You all remember that the decree had gone out that the Jews were all to be killed on a certain day throughout all of what is today Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, the whole region. They were all to die. But she went in and appealed to the king, and the king said, I can't take back what I said, but I can arm the Jews and let them defend themselves and be able to save their own lives and their own families. And we read in Esther chapter 9, verse 22, that when the lives of the Jews were all spared, the people rejoiced and gave gifts to one another. Now, think about that. Surrounding the gifts were just facts of history and great events and made it special time. But surrounding Christmas, just look at the six verses that we have listed here for you surrounding God's matchless gift of Christmas. We find the wrapping, not a bunch of Frosty the Snowman festooned paper, but we find instead, this will be the sign for you that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. You all realize that in old times, the Jews had a tradition of burying the dead in caves or in tombs above ground. And they would simply take the body, they would anoint it, they would wash it and anoint it with spices. Then they would take 6-foot-long strips, about each one about 6-8 inches long or wide, and they would wrap the body in these cloths. They would swaddle it, they'd wash it off, and they'd wrap it and wrap in all the spices and so forth. Then they'd lay the body in the tomb. After a long time, the body inside would have disintegrated. The bones would be all that was left. They would come in when the next funeral came around. They would, it sounds like Easter, they would break open the bands that were all hard and dried and dirty and that, these swaddling bands. They'd break it open. They'd scrape off all the bones and everything that remained into a big urn, a big 55-gallon drum, and it would said that so-and-so was gathered to their fathers, because their fathers' bones were in there, and that's where the phrase comes from. They were gathered to their fathers. And they'd get ready for the next funeral. But if you had enough money, wouldn't you use new cloth on the next body? But if you were really poor, you would take that cloth that was thrown out outside the tomb, and you would take it and you would wash it off and you'd clean it off as best you can and reuse it. That is how poor Mary and Joseph were. The wrapping of the Messiah was such that he was wrapped in burial cloths, little swaddling cloths, all round and around and around. This little baby pictured on that first Christmas, born to die. A reminder that one day they'd come to a tomb and they'd find the wrapping all empty and the napkin that had been over his face laid there and folded neatly on the bench in the garden tomb. And so the wrapping of the poor, no bow, no Pampers. We won't even get into that, how that all worked back in those days. No beautiful layette, probably no blue baby blanket. Say that fast 3 times. Blue baby blanket for the baby boy that was born. The wrappings, the trimmings. Well, we have trimmings around our house. We have a tree. Our grandkids may be able to come the 2nd or 3rd of January. We're not sure. My wife looked at me and said, that question that was really a statement. The question, are we leaving the Christmas decorations up for the grandkids? And she said it without going up at the end of the sentence, like there was no question. We are leaving the grandkids. And there, because the trimmings, you know, lights are around, and we don't do much at Christmas time at our house, but we have a little Charlie Brown tree, and we have the things there. But we just read in Luke 2, the trimming, you know, the glory of the Lord, the star, the angel choir in heaven, the lights show. I mean, It made 4th of July and the Mount Rushmore laser show put to shame that night with the trimmings. The content of the matchless gift that God gave, of course, Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under law, so that we might be we might receive adoption as sons. The Son of God became man so that the sons of man could become sons of God. It's an amazing, beautiful story of what Christmas is all about. The gift tag we read about, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ. Remember, Christ is the Greek word, Messiah is the Hebrew word. Messiah, the Lord. And I think if I were God putting the tag on, I would have on the flip side say, open immediately. Savior inside. A few weeks ago, we received a giant box, bigger than this whiteboard on the wall behind me, with our prayer needs for our people traveling at Christmas. And I looked at it and I said, that's really amazing. And my son, and then about 5 minutes later, his wife, my daughter-in-law, both sent emails saying, to save money, we didn't have a package from the company sent to us in California, and then we'd have to pay to ship it to you. We had it paid, we paid to have it shipped directly to you, save money, and you may not open it until Christmas. And so in our living room has been this giant package, unable to be opened until today. Would you like to know what's inside of it, by the way? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just visiting with you for a few minutes here. No, it was a map of the world in a beautiful frame, and little push pins and little flaggy things. And he said, it says on there, you know, the Griffin's World Travel. And then, have you seen that before? Something like that? It's really a cool idea. And so we will try, except it's on Masonite. I don't know how you push pins into Masonite. That sounds like a pain. But we'll work on it. But he said, you know, in a little note then that we got today, he said, you know, go there, push a pin in Beijing, in Hong Kong, in Cairo or Jerusalem, in Moscow, and all the different places we've been to in our life. And then he said, then there's flag pins there for your favorite places. And then there's different colored flag pins for the next trip you're going to take, which for me will be Machu Picchu in Peru, on my kick the bucket list. And so I have goals and things like that. But I thought, wow, what a neat thing. Don't open till Christmas. And Jesus was that gift. And the purpose, as we read, God loved us. He loved the world, not just the Jews. Whenever you see the Gospel of John and you see the word world, always think that's us. That's Gentiles, not Jews. Because the other Gospels, like Matthew, are written to Jews. And people thought, well, the Messiah is for the Jews. And John says, hey, he loved the world. He loved the Gentiles as well as the Jews. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have, I learned it, everlasting life. Everlasting and eternal are the same word, and so there's no theological difference there, but it just means kind of forever. And the proper response, that thanks be to God for his, I think the King James says, unspeakable gift. Inexpressible gift. I like that word. I think that's from the ESV. His inexpressible gift. We can't even begin in the songs that we've been singing for the last 40 minutes and the scripture. We just can't even touch and express the greatness of that gift. And so, of course, that brought me to the second part of the message, the substance of the gift, because the gift isn't just Jesus. Look at what he has given us. Obviously, he's given us the Messiah. Jesus said in John 4, verse 10, to the woman at the well, who was debating whether it was proper to worship up on Mount Gerizim or worship down at Mount Zion at the temple and have all the difference of opinion between the Samaritan believers and the Jewish believers. And he said, if you knew the gift of God in front of you, you would have asked me. They didn't even recognize. This woman didn't even know. And then when she finally did, you know, because she knew he was a prophet, he was a holy man, a righteous leader, a rabbi, but when she finally learned, she went and told all her friends and probably her ex-husbands and everybody else that was in town to come and see what this man has said. The gift of Messiah, that God with us, Emmanuel. The gift of the Holy Spirit, excuse me, in Acts chapter 8, Simon was amazed when he saw the Holy Spirit work in power and in the lives of people. And he came up to the disciples and offered them money to buy the Holy Ghost. And Peter said to him in the today's English version, the Good News for Modern Man, it's translated, you and your money go to... Okay, I stay away from that translation a little bit. But the idea, I think the different translations said, may you and your money perish together. Because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with gold. Invisible work of the Spirit. Think of that. The Spirit that gives us repentance, the Spirit that gives us faith, the Spirit that gives us the understanding so that we know what Christmas is about. We don't just know the facts. That would be average. We don't know how it all works, and we sure don't know why, except that He loved us, and through the work of His Spirit, we are born again. He gives us the gift of salvation by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not from your works, lest any should boast. For grace has to be a gift. If I can do anything for my salvation, it's no longer grace. I've worked. I've done something. I've paid for it. I've earned it. I've done good deeds. I had a fellow who came from a church background that believed you had to do good works as part of your salvation. You believed, but if you didn't do good works and you didn't have all these things to measure up. And so I tried to explain to him, and he said, I just feel like I have to do something. So, of course, I made him our Sunday school superintendent so that he would be busy working all the time to keep his salvation or gain his salvation. Yeah, we explained to him how it would work. The salvation by grace, not earned. The gift of our personal abilities, that we have a gift of God. 1 Corinthians 7:7 says that one man has after this manner, another after a different manner. Some have gifts for ministering differently. We have talents and abilities that differ. I can't play the guitar and sing like Dave and Kathy do for us. That's a gift. And God bless them. I couldn't work with 150 third and fourth and fifth graders like Brother Jim does without feeling like I was ready to punt somebody through the goalpost or something like that. It would be hard to do. God gives us all different gifts. And that is part of the blessing of being His child, our different abilities and different gifts. 2 Corinthians 1, 6 and 7 says, wherefore stir up the gift of God which is in you. For God has not given us the gift, the spirit of fear, but of power and love from a sound mind. And so we have the gift of living each life for Him and for each other as we work for Him. And then obviously the final gift, as we conclude the simple thought, the gift of eternity in heaven. For the wages of sin is death, but, aren't you glad for a big but the gift of God is eternal life. A fellow that I have grown to appreciate over the years. I appreciate his singing and so forth. The country music, a fellow by the name of Rory Feek. I don't know if you're familiar with Rory. He was a single dad with two little girls and raised them, writing songs, singing a little bit, mostly playing the guitar for other people singing. And just a nice guy. Wore overalls, bib overalls, brother. You know who I'm talking about. All, that was his trademark. That's what he did. Just a nice guy. And at a concert, a gal who grew up on the next farm to Bill and Gloria Gaither in Alexandria, Indiana. She came to the concert, and her name was Joey, J-O-E-Y, and fell in love. She basically said, I love you, and we're going to get married. And that was the first time he'd ever met her. And he said, he took one look at it and said, okay by me. That seemed like a good proposal. Well, it took a few years, but they got married and had a career. You can see their music, Joey and Rory. Joey, not Ann, plus Rory. That's the way their title is. And 2 years ago, they got pregnant and had a little baby girl that was severely Down syndrome and deaf and a lot of challenges. And they just gave God the glory and said, Lord knows, we're just going to rejoice. This is wonderful. God's given us this wonderful baby. A year ago, Joey was diagnosed with cancer. And after going through all the treatments, going through the radiation and the chemo, and doing it all, the folks at the Cancer Treatment Center of America in suburban Atlanta simply said, there is nothing. There's nothing that can be done. You just have a matter of months. And so she went back to the family home there in Indiana, and Rory came up and with the rest of the kids, and they all stayed around for a few months. And then I just read his blog post written back a few months ago, and it said, Joey's dream came true today. I thought, wow, that's really neat. And then he said, she always dreamed of being, forgive me, of being able to sing for Jesus.
Yeah.
That is the gift that we ought to be looking forward to the most. The gift of being able someday to be with our Lord in heaven, to rejoice, to love Him, to sing if we can sing, play the guitar if we play the guitar, or just kind of croak if that's all we do in place of singing. But each one of us to be able to give back a little tiny bit of the gift of love that He's given to us. That's the message of Christmas. That's what it's all about. Not the trimming, the wrapping, the angels, the manger. They all pale in comparison to the gift of eternity in heaven. I woke up this morning and I was humming, and my wife says, what in the world are you singing? She wondered what Christmas song. And I was singing, I'd love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. Lord, bless us this Christmas time. Cause us to look beyond the tree and look to You with loving hearts. You did everything for us. Might we give You the worship and the glory and the honor and the praise that is worthy of Your name alone. And help us, Lord, to put you first in this special day, a day of remembrance. Keep our eyes on heaven above. Keep our focus on you. And might we be prepared when you call us home or when you come back to bow at your feet and give you the worship due your name. Amen.